Hello and welcome back to Nobody Wake the Bugbear. This is our actual play of Another Bug Hunt, Scenario 1, Distress Signals. This is Episode 3. I am Andrew the Warden, and here with me to finish off this little adventure is John. John, who are you playing?
This is a public service announcement. It's recently come to my attention that my personal mothership module that I ran, Silence on Narcissus, bears some cursory resemblances to another Mothership Adventure by Eric L. Sandor called...
I wasn't prepared for this bit. You don't know the full particulars. I was going to go with this with you another time, John. This shouldn't be canon in the podcast, so I think you should just introduce yourself character normally.
I'm John.
Just that.
I play Natalie. G-N-A-T-L-I. Combat Android. Currently somewhat distraught.
Why are you distraught?
Because my friend Fish is comatose and severely...
Oh, there's plenty more out there.
Severely injured by the grenade that went off.
You'll find another
the
one.
Booby trap.
There's plenty of fish in the sea.
That guffaw came from Doug. How are you, Doug?
Yuck.
I'm dead.
I'm dead. I'm having a fat old nap.
You're not dead.
You're not dead.
He's not dead.
I'm not dead.
I feel better. He just said he's not dead. Yeah, he is. See, look.
Now, you are comatose from a grenade.
Yeah.
Does someone want to recap last week's episode, and then we'll quickly get into it as this is the final episode?
When last we left off, we entered into combat with one of the Carcanids, the greater Carcanids, the large crab-like arthropodic organism with its big concentric teeth maw, and we tried to hurt it several times, but its armor was too tough, and at which point Fish ran to the garage to get the vehicle, what was it called?
The APC, Armored Personnel Carrier.
To get the Armored Personnel Character. First of all, Mark was killed by the Carcanid.
Oh yeah, Mark's dead. Fan favorite.
Mark got bisected. Ripped
Mark
across
got,
the
yeah,
face.
Split in half.
I like how when I went down the pyramid of wounds he was taking, the first one, like his eyes got scratched, and then the second one was like instant death. So he just got bisected and his face ripped off. Number 10. Yeah. Awesome.
That's right, everyone. Fan favorite character, Mark. Dead.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know why I'm here.
Shut up. Okay, so Rudy and Natalie continued to try to fight the Carcanid while Fish went to get the vehicle. I keep forgetting what it's called.
APC.
The APC. And we eventually chased it off and let it escape by boring a hole through the roof where it went out into the jungle again. We went to join Fish as he tried to get into the UPC, whatever it's called.
APC.
The NPC. The APC. But there was a traumatized crew person inside.
Yeah, mechanic.
Mechanic holding a grenade saying, I don't want to go back to the hive. I'm not going back to the hive. Who then set off the grenade. We thought Fish would just straight up die from the explosion, but he rolled on the wound table and rolled on the rolled to death save and managed to be comatose, which should be a death sentence anyway, but Natalie was determined and dragged him to the medical bay and managed to stabilize him, but can't do much else at this juncture. Then Rudy went back to the command center and turned the power back on.
He did.
Which threw all the lights on, and the radio playing in the commissary, the birthday boy music was blaring loudly. He ran in to turn that off. And this was when one of the survivors of the Greta base was alerted to the presence of the investigation team. This survivor was Mads Lochner.
Mads?
Yeah, Mads.
Last name?
Lochner, I think.
Oh, 1 second.
Glockner.
Glockner.
Glockner. Where are you going, Doug? Doug is leaving the table to collect his phone, which has the Mothership Companion app available now on Apple Podcasts. And it's got everything you need for Mothership playing. You can make characters in a few seconds. It's only $3 to purchase. You can have as many characters as you want. You can export them. It rolls things for you. Check it out. It's worth it.
Yes. So, Mads Glockner was alerted to the fact that More people had come to the base. He went to investigate. In the meanwhile, after Natalie had finished stabilizing her friend Fish, she went through the computer systems and discovered the research on the computer described the fact that apparently these carcinids perpetuate themselves using sound, using their own shrieks. They infect people. And it was just at this point that he was about to turn the radio on to broadcast an SOS that Mads ran in and told him, no, don't turn the radio on. Don't turn the communications on. Don't turn on the broadcast. Because, of course, anyone that hears the sound of the shriek will be, what's the term?
Converted? Not, incubated?
Vulnerable to, susceptible to.
Yes, you know that they're reproducing with some sort of signal or crab song. Crib Sleeder. What was it? What was it? How do you say that? It obviously means crab song.
Crab Slider.
Crab Slider. Crab Slider. Yeah. Doug, have you returned yet? We're ready to get started. I'll play the intro music. Doug's shouting from the distance. We will begin. Please join us for another Nobody Wake the Bugbear Plays, another bug hunt, Distress Signals, Episode 3.
Turn on the comms!
I pause.
Rudy snaps his weapon to you.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Friendly, friendly.
Hey, put your hands up.
Up, they're up.
Who the fuck are you?
I am... I feel like I need to put a fucking accent on this guy, but I am not very good at the Scandinavian.
You better speak up. Better not be some crazy accent that I can't understand. You speak English.
My name is Private Glockner. Glockner!
Stop shouting.
It was on the manifest. This is not a joke.
It's always a joke with you, Tin Can. Well, put your hands up. You got? Have you got a weapon?
I've what got my revolver, which is, yes, in my hand.
Drop that revolver, mate.
All right. I'm putting it down.
Now, we're very highly strung, so you don't pull any shit, but because you're part of this base, I guess you know what's going on here, don't you?
Yep. Yes. Yes. Who are you guys?
We're the response team. You haven't been... Your base has been dark for the last month.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. Yes.
We just turned on the comms. We're going to recall our dropship.
No. No comms. No comms. No. Comms bad. They hear comms. They come for comms. Comms makes you worse. Comms what started this. No comms.
What do you think, robot?
Based on what I have read in the files, what are you saying? Is consistent. We've been hearing things in the comms. The shriek, do you recall?
Yeah, I don't want to be reminded of that. I told you I'm gonna have nightmares later.
It's called Krebsliter. It says here, it's done by the organism. It says here, that once you hear Krebsliter, you are affected.
Yes. It sings to you. Yes.
Yes, I've been hearing it in my ears. It's whispering at the back of my skull.
How is it that you have survived?
I hide it room. Yes.
You haven't heard the shriek?
I hear shriek. I hear song. It calls. It tells me, come to cave. Come to find. Come to queen. Come to nest.
I'm going to look and see if you've got scratches on you.
Covered in them.
He's covered in them.
Yes.
Look, I'm going to shut off this comms. And Rudy... No, Natalie, maybe you unplug.
Yeah.
And you unplug it.
Looks like we'll have to make it back to the dropship ourselves.
Yes, dropship. Go, leave.
Wait a minute, we've got certain mission objectives we need to find. One of those was find this dude here who checked out. Is that the commander?
Yes.
Yeah. What did we need off him, Nat? Robot.
What did we need off him?
Rendezvous with... Second Lieutenant Kaplan, who is the platoon leader.
Yeah.
And help him secure the base, return the comms. Looks like he's not going to help us, so at least we take his dog tags.
Yes.
Yes.
And Rudy grabs the dog tags. What about those notes? We're looking for... What's your name? Mads?
Yes, Mads. Mads. Glockner.
Private. We're looking for Dr. Edom. Do you know where Dr. Edom is? The location?
I don't know. Lab is down the hall, to the left. But
where did you come from? The crew quarters?
Yes.
What do you have in there?
You don't want to go in there. I've been living in there. It is just me and...
Where did you go to the toilet, mate? Smells like you went in their pants.
Yes. But we need to get out of here. Let's do ship, yes?
As you're saying, get out of here, you're having to fight this urge to lead them to what's called the mothership.
Yes.
And you just keep... John looked at me. Yeah.
Mothership, yeah. The sci-fi horror RPG by Tuesday Night Games.
Yeah, Mads, you're fighting this urge to lead these people to the mothership and not...
See, he's got this almost like a paranoid tick where he just sort of...
Yeah.
You see him like tense and blink and shake his head as he's trying to shake it off constantly.
There's one of those creatures out there. We blasted it. We threw acid in its mouth.
Yes.
And it escaped, but it might be still out there waiting for a chance to get back in.
Yes.
We just blew some idiot... set off a grenade in the APC. It's kaput, Matt.
Pack march, march song. We sing, we march, sing, song, song bad. No song, no march.
Well, we take this research and we march right back to the dropship and we get the fuck out of here.
I should have an accurate memorization of the research.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm doing MK again.
Yeah, who are you? You're a woman.
I'm Natalie.
I should have an accurate recording of the research in my head.
Also, you can take the notes. You can take the book.
Yeah, well, I don't want to...
I can't carry them and also fish.
I take books. I'll take books. We go.
Look, if I give you this back, this revolver, you're not going to pop us in our heads walking back, are you?
No. Revolver for me. Me. Good. Lead. Good. Good lead. Good lead.
Okay. Just shut the fuck up, all right? We'll get you out of here.
Okay.
And he turns to Natalie and says... We get attacked on the way out here. Just leave this fucker away. We run faster than him. We're home free.
Okay, I'll do what I can.
Mads is like, what was that?
What?
Any copy? Huh? No, I'm just organizing my plan with my robot friend here.
Good.
He's going to carry his little fish friend.
His?
Sorry. Sorry, check me. She's going to carry her little friend fish.
Fish. Tasty. Good. Yes. Eat fish.
He's comatose. He's not going to answer you. He's on his death's door.
Oh, yes. Doors. I show you doors. Let's go.
Let's go.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here. Look, our job was to put the comms back on. At least we got the power. We're going to have to tell command what's going on. We can't do that from here.
Mads is going to scoop up the SMG that's nearby on the ground next to this cut in half headless body.
Yeah. Oh, that was our friend Mark.
Oh, Mark.
He got split in two by that carcanid, that big roach.
Yes, Mark in half, yes.
Is he called Markanid?
You might say he's half the man he used to be. That was a joke. Tee-hee.
Rudy laughs for the first time. Oh, I got that one. I'm starting to warm up to this. Maybe I'm going crazy.
I know it'll work in the end.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. And you go to leave. Was there anything we didn't check yet? What about the armory?
The armory. Full of weapons. Weapons. Carcass, armor, no scratch, weapons, yes, armory.
All right, I'm going to quickly check that out. Natalie, let's do it. You go to the armory.
Yeah.
You open up the door.
Wait, no, hang on. Before we open the door, I'm going to knock on the door.
You knock.
Yes.
And you get no response.
Who's that?
I'm going to listen at the door, see if there's any movement.
I see it put its ear up against... I see her put her ear up against the wall, and I put my ear up against the other wall.
Actually, this says, the armory is only a rugged interior metal cage lined with lockers. It says industrial blast door is ripped off and discarded. So let's say you go to the armory, and instead of the locked door you were expecting is a ripped off industrial blast door, there is a giant pile of melted metal, which seem to be the remnants of all the weapons. And a scientist or an android, if studied in a lab, if studied in a lab, you do not have time for this, but it looks like they were melted by some sort of chemical agent, perhaps.
You mean like hydrofluoric acid?
Not sure. But it's similar to what was happening in the lab. Some secretion. Maybe by this creature, maybe not.
It's probably the opposite. Yeah. Some base.
Yeah, I was going to say.
All the lockers are empty and open. And
okay, so it's useless. Let's move on.
All right, okay, there's no weapons. Let's get the hell out of here.
Right.
Rudy leads the way. Natalie.
I feel less safe now that I know what they can do to metal.
And you run out.
Not that I ever felt all that safe here.
You open the airlock. It is powered now. It opens, slides open. And you just hear the pouring rain above your heads.
Let's get moving.
And you walk out into the rain. Minutes go by. The lights on your headlamps shine through the jungle. You cross back through the path you were on before, already half cleared. The mud all around you, squelching, makes movement slow. Natalie, you're holding Fish in both hands, carrying him.
Yeah, slung over the shoulders.
Actually, they accidentally retract your hammer and just chop his head off.
Tee-hee.
Tee-hee. Rudy's moving forward with his loaded shotgun this time. Mads, you're in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you're not going to shoot me in the back, are you?
No.
You tried any funny business, that robot there will smack you over the head.
Left, right, left, right, left, right, left. Two in the back and one in the head. Yes, yes, let's march.
And you cross by, you see lights in the distance, you cross through, and suddenly out of the grass, out of the vines, you hear a shriek. Everyone roll a sanity save as you are blasted by the Krebs song once more.
21 over 17.
You're taunting us!
I'm at
Rudy
11.
Twists around, Rudy makes a sanity save. Success with a 32 under 34, and Mads
63 over 21.
You fail. Please add another stress as this
11.
Carcanid, you see its face half melted off and its armor dripping as it rushes towards you.
I roll my fear, right?
Yes.
Because I've got the fear condition.
You yep. do. You are encountering your fear again. Please roll a fear save.
A disadvantage.
A disadvantage?
It yep. was, I do believe.
39 under 75.
You pass.
So I can fight as normal.
You can fight as normal. No, it's just frightened. It just makes you gain stress. You can still fully activate.
What is it, 1D?
No, it's you either roll a fear or you just take 1D.
Yeah, you pass.
I passed it, okay.
You may now all roll for speed as initiative has begun and this thing is stalking you like a predator, you might say, through the jungle, almost invisible. Non-copyright. In a non-copyright sense.
40 over 32.
All right, you pass.
No,
that's a fail.
Okay. 30, you fail.
33 under 39.
69 for Rudy. Oh, yeah.
I got a critical success.
Mads, you go first, and you maybe...
That's cool.
You heard this thing.
Yes.
And you can react.
Watch your float.
What's something very good that you can have as an advantage here?
You've fought them before?
Hit it somewhere... squishy,
you know, that its armor, if acid is sprayed on it, it will degenerate the armor and allow it to be hurt.
Yes, that's what I gathered up. Yes. Chloric, holy, remove the... Yes, acid. Who has chloric?
And I'll actually let you take a shot if you wish or make a move.
Well, it's got a half-burned face. Can't you have a go at that?
No, it digested it.
Yeah, it didn't splash on its armor. So I did damage directly to its health,
yeah.
But I didn't reduce the armor.
The reason I threw it into its mouth was because it was frozen solid.
Yeah.
And I couldn't just splash it.
Here we go.
Acid. Who has acid? Acid.
Natalie does.
Acid.
I don't have any acid.
Maybe the acid.
That was a joke, but...
Stop saying acid.
And then I just start shooting.
All right, go for it.
Firearms.
My arms are on fire.
50... What was that? 61.
Jeez. How'd he get so high?
He's just a 46 plus 15.
Nice.
46?
46. He's a Marine, boy. And that will be a miss.
All right, please take a stress. What was the miss? Remember, you're going to have to send me this character sheet later.
Oh, 82 over, what did I say it was? 61.
All right, that is a miss. That is your turn. Moving on to the Carcanid. Did you want to move?
I will... back away from it.
Sure. You've been running off into the jungle.
No, not that far.
Okay, you run off into a random direction. away from it, towards the dropship that you can see in the distance, the lights passing through the trees. This carcanage is being illuminated by Rudy's headlamp and Natalie's face lamp, and it attacks. It will go after Mads or Rudy, 50-50 chance.
Mm.
Lower end, Mads. Higher end, Rudy.
Well, I'm running away from it, so wouldn't it go for
that? Yeah, well, if you run away from a rabid dog, it goes, ooh, prey.
Yeah, fair.
Here we go.
Fair bump, play on.
It fears. 16, Mads.
Yeah.
As you go to run, and you've shot at it, this thing latches onto you, tracks you, and runs towards you, and makes a claw attack.
Brilliant.
Here we go. Failure.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Failure.
You're just a badass. You just dodge under it.
And I'll tell you this, 78 over 75.
Ooh.
And it screeches.
Fucking 75.
And it is now Rudy and Natalie's turn.
Natalie's going to carefully put fish down.
Yes.
Gently.
This is all you can do.
Is that all I can do?
Yeah, you probably can't attack either. You can run to the dropship.
We did agree we'd leave you behind, didn't we?
Yes.
Never mind, I don't put him down. We run.
Natalie, you begin running through the mud, holding fish. You can't get very far, but if you use both your actions, you can get a bit further away. Away from an encounter distance. It'll have to chase you.
Yes.
You begin running off. Rudy says, all right, this asshole's done for. And Rudy levels the shotgun and I'm going to blow his kneecaps off. He won't be running far then.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you bitch.
And Rudy releases the combat shotgun, rolls a six... No.
Fails.
49 plus 15. That is 60... What, four? Sorry, my math. Yes?
What?
64. I beat it by one. I rolled a 63 and I got a 64. 49 combat plus 15 firearms.
Just missed.
Here's the damage.
You hit me.
Yeah, 17 points of damage on Mr. Mad's kneecaps.
Oh, fuck, I have 17 health.
Then let's roll a wound.
All right. What is that again? One D10.
All right, let's get out of here. And he begins running after Natalie.
I was going to do something cool. Now I'm fucking angry. All right. What am I, D10?
Yes, please. Roll that D10.
Seven. Oh, that's not good.
Seven.
You don't want to roll high.
I do believe a shotgun is gunshot. So let's look up at the old gunshot table. Number seven, major blood loss. He hits your femoral artery and you just begin hemorrhaging blood outside your kneecaps. And you take bleeding four, major blood loss, as you're just pouring blood into the rain and the mud. And it is now your turn. You're seeing Rudy, Natalie and Fish run off into the distance as you're faced with this creature. It calling to you.
It hit the ground and scream. as my leg is just sort of shattered. And then I will sit upright and reach for
the grenades.
A rosary that's not there. And I will pull out two grenades and flick the pin off them and just start praying. And then I will just look up at this fucking monster and explode. And there's two grenades.
This creature begins chopping you up piece by piece, bisecting you. Your arms go off. You've already pulled the pin. They flop over in the mud. And then a few seconds later, Rudy and Natalie just hear this huge bang.
Yes.
And this flash of light as gore goes everywhere and bits of shell.
That was the quickest I've ever had.
As I roll, please roll 3d10.
Well, no,
6d10.
6d10.
For this
now we know that grenades work.
Fuck dice. D10s. 1, 2.
Because I'm combining
three,
this damage
four,
together.
5, 6. Roll. 34.
34 points of damage.
Fuck it up.
You obliterate this thing's armor and sends it flying. It had 30 points of armor, which is now completely shattered. And you do 4 points of damage into its health.
Does it need to roll a body check and see if it doubles it?
No.
Oh, okay. And just take 4 points of damage.
Yes.
But I blow its fucking armor off.
That was a body save because it doesn't do automatic damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this thing blows back in pieces. And now it is its turn. Is it not?
Yeah, well, I'm dead.
This thing recoils and then dashes off into the jungle, screeching as it goes, its shriek piercing the night. And Rudy Natalie and Fish, comatose still, rushing towards the dropship. And you see the lights all flicked on. You see in the cockpit, Anders and Renfield pointing as they shake their fist up in triumph, and the doors begin to lower and you enter the dropship. Anders says, "What the hell's going on out there? The comms just came back on for a second and then they came straight off."
"We can't use the comms. They're dangerous."
"All right. What about the mission? Have we completed the mission?"
"He's dead."
"Who's dead?"
Lieutenant Kaplan."
Rudy says, "Look, we've got the fucking research. Let's get the fuck out of here. There's a creature out there, a giant crab monster. We got to get out of here." Okay. The ship begins to fire up. You get strapped in. The platform begins to raise and locks into position. The engines fire up. The rain's beating down. And Anders puts his hand on the accelerator and begins to burn. And the engines fire off. And Rudy and Natalie, you look down at Anders' hand and just see, focuses in on thousands of tiny paper cuts all over his hand, and you leave the planet. And that is the end of another bug hunt. Distress signals as we fade out into space. The team returning to their ship.
Should we just chat for the rest of the episode?
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of implied. Whoa, what a classic Predator finish. What a classic sci-fi finish, don't you think?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, I even if Rudy didn't blow my legs off, I was literally planning on charging it with the grenades anyway.
I just thought I'd fired a warning shot.
Yeah, good shot, Rudy.
You can't get another effective warning shot than that.
Oh.
Yeah, Rudy turned to Natalie and like, "We only have to run faster than this guy."
Yeah. That's it. You're as fast as your slowest runner.
Yeah.
AKA you're as safe as your slowest runner.
Also, the company made it pretty clear that the rest of the party, the rest of the organization that wasn't the research notes or the scientist or the command platoon leader were expendable at this point, pretty much.
Looks like that guy didn't have much of a leg to stand on.
And we fade out on that amazing finish.
My plan was to take the fucking acid and the grenade at the same time, like throw the acid and then the next turn throw the grenade.
Holy shit.
Or hit it with the acid and then blow myself up.
That's amazing. He just had that doubled grenade, which was in the room.
Yes.
And so let's do some retrospective.
Yep.
Let's finish the adventure.
First, I will tell you what I wrote on the piece of paper and gave to Doug.
All right.
Yes.
Let's do that. Let's start from the start. Let's begin the retrospective.
Written here, it says, "Self-destruct protocols, T-I-H-I or T-H-E, total indication to halt ignition. Baha, B-A-H-A, bank activation to harness Armageddon." So I said T and I said Baha. On the occasion that I was actually going to self-destruct, it would have been Ha-Ha, H-A-H-A,
yeah.
Hard activate of harness Armageddon. And the plan that I wanted to do was to if I was going to kill it in an explosion.
You made the acid bomb.
Yeah, I did make the acid bomb, but
internally,
I didn't need to use it.
No.
My plan was to use the acid bomb and say, "Wait, I don't want to die. I'm not ready to die. That was a joke.
You're fucked."
Yeah, and then blow up. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, there we have it. That was another bug hunt. The stress signals, which is the first scenario in this adventure. Let's go around the table. Is there any questions you want to ask, or do you want to reflect on your character's performance? And I think,
sorry. I was going to say, the one little running thing that I added in was, so at the start of the game, I joked, Fish mentioned to Rudy that these lockers are people's shit. And then Rudy's locker was a hazmat suit and some pulse rifle ammo and a rosary. What people probably didn't realize was Mads was a marksman. He uses a pulse rifle. He's also Catholic. Okay. Has a rosary. That was his locker.
All right.
Which is why I added that little ending bit where he was trying to reach for his rosary.
Yeah.
Forgot that he didn't have it on him.
Oh dear. But what about your character Fish? Do you think Fish survived? You didn't die on camera.
I didn't
die
on camera.
You might be out there.
I didn't die on camera.
You're welcome.
Whether fish dies or not, probably not. Maybe. I don't know. I think at this point, it depends on how the infection process works.
Yeah, you have a badass scar, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's got one big, deep, fleshy scar across. So the way I pictured it was that slice came down and it hit at his collarbone. But if it was up another inch, it might have hit an artery, which is my way of indicating that he had three health on that wound. So it was like maybe 3 centimeters where the artery was. And he's just rattled with like these pot marks and burn scars from taking a grenade to the face.
Yeah.
He's got like fucking no jaw and nose. Like his face is just obliterated.
So I don't want to spoil the whole adventure, but let's draw on a few little things because this is basically meant to be the premiere module for the first edition release of Mothership. This is releasing alongside it as the new campaign book, basically, the most recent. And yeah, you've met the Carcanids, which is this what is it called?
Arthropod.
Arthropod, yes. These species of arthropods, and they labeled them as Carcanids or Carcs.
Like Carc being Greek for crab.
Mm. Yeah. And we've got a whole timeline of events. There's 4 scenarios in this book. We played one of the 4. It can be ran as a one-shot or part of a larger adventure, which it does support. It tells you everything that's going on. Let's go to the shriek first. What was the shriek?
The crab slither.
Yes, the sound of these things that they can attack with and that what was being broadcast over the tower. These carcanids can assimilate other life forms by emitting a high-pitched shriek, which transmit a mimetic virus to the human or android listener.
Son of a bitch.
Yes. This mimetic virus or cancer pattern imprints on the victim's brain, slowly transforming them into the host for a carcanid larva. Spoilers, by the way, for this adventure.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Just we'll put that at the front there.
We'll put that at the front, but certainly lots of wardens would be listening to us play this, not so much their players.
Hopefully not. If you are a player listening to this, stop now!
Stop it. Naughty. Yeah, so spoiler alert for everything that follows. If you're a player, turn off now.
Yes. Oh, just before you do turn off, if you wanted to play the other scenarios in this adventure, you could have a lot of fun pretending that this first adventure was canon and the subsequent ones you could do yourself.
Yes, yeah.
Back to the shriek. You slowly...
Spoiler warning.
Yeah,
spoilers. Get out of here.
Spoilers.
Well, if they listen to the whole adventure, there's spoilers throughout, so...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but they could do a sequel.
You know what you were getting into.
You
slowly transform them into a host for the carcanid larvae. While the larvae gestates, the host becomes lethargic, deeply empathetic towards carcs and all arthropods, and hears whispered suggestions from the carcanid hive mind. After a few days of incubation, a mature carcanid erupts from the host's corpse. The newborn carc's walking legs sprout from the host's neck or ribs or groin and drag the rest of the carc's carapace out of the host's body like a hermit crab abandoning a shell.
That's an unfortunate way to go.
Does that happen no matter what, or can you get out of range of the...
It's whenever you hear the shriek for the first time, you make a sanity save.
Right.
If you fail, stage 1 sets in.
There must be a way to fix that, though.
Each stage lasts for 3d10 hours, after which time the listener makes another sanity save. If they succeed, they stay at their current stage. So this thing is perpetual and incurable, as it's written so far. So to make this work, Doug, it just means you kept passing. You kept yourself sane. You had your anime pillow.
Yes.
You had your porn mags.
Yes, I had my porn mags.
You
had my poop corner.
You had your poop corner. You managed to keep yourself on the edge of sanity. Maybe you were on stage 3, which is possession.
Mm.
No, because that's a body save hourly.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. It gets rough.
Yeah.
Starts with revelation. That's the cuts and with the whispering. 2 is induction, stage 2. You suffer catatonic states. You lose your memories for 2d10 minutes. You dream of tunnel vision of the hive, tunneling underground.
I had these things.
Yes.
Yep.
So let's say you're at induction and just kept on passing your save.
Yep.
Ooh, victim has disadvantage on any action which would harm a fellow carcanid.
Oh. I mean, I did blow myself up. Yeah. We'll just say those shots.
You didn't roll an action. You just pulled the pin. You didn't throw it. So So that's no roll.
Yeah, there you go.
I missed my shot, I'm pretty sure, didn't I?
What's this for?
Because I took a shot.
Of what?
At the carcanet.
Yeah, with your gun.
Yeah.
But yeah, neither here nor there.
No.
He goes up to number 5 with this transformation. So there's not much else I can say because I don't really want to spoil the adventure too much, as in the actual written text. If this one shot has wet your palate, you can obviously pick up this adventure in full. It's available now. I'll get to that later. But let's focus in on the characters. And we had Rudy, which John mentioned before as a returning character in the Dungeons and Dragons game.
I don't believe he ever actually appeared in the podcast.
No, he played in my one shot that I ran. That is true.
Yes, okay, so Doug ran the haunt. We played the haunt. Can we reveal this or is this going to ruin?
It's just, people who are listening now are sticking around for some banter.
We played the haunt. Doug ran it. We had a party. I was a big, cheerful minotaur, softy.
Oh, the cow.
Called Homilius Torola, or Millie for short.
Yeah, this isn't important. But anyway, Rudy.
We played Rudy.
Rudy was a character that I played, and it's just an excuse to do a South African accent.
Yes, a lean, South African, tanned, blonde man.
Yes.
And he appeared in the D&D campaign before we started recording it for the podcast.
Yes. So that was Rudy.
Oh, yeah, he popped up as an Easter egg here and there, didn't he?
All right, moving on. That was Rudy. And next up, we had Mark, was just a piece of shit scientist, a nervous, standard sci-fi patsy who just happened to be in that corridor in the thing. It could have happened at other moments in the adventure, but it suggested that if you're running this with new players, you don't really want to attack the player killers, the player characters straight away, just attack some of their contractors perhaps. And that's to telegraph the lethality of these things.
Yes.
So I went with that.
It'd be a good way to show new players for Mothership that have come from other more traditional role-playing games where it's a little bit more, you're a bit more stronger.
Yes, it's high stakes.
Like your D&Ds, for example.
This is the intention.
Can I just say, your role-playing as Mads was actually pretty top-notch.
Thank you.
For short notice.
Thank you.
It was fucked up.
I'm kind of good at playing crazy people, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think... Playing
you just can't get you can't avoid just being an infested character because Krez was basically the same deal.
Playing
in the D&D game.
Hang on. Yes. I got a burn here. Playing a stuttering, nervous, piss stained, anime loving, crazy person was right up. You didn't have much to draw on there. Anyway, that's my burn, Doug burn for the day.
Let's not be too mean to Doug, the closest thing to a Marine out of any of us here.
That is true. He is combat trained. Okay, moving on. Doug, anything you want to say about Fish, your character?
Fish was based off of many things. The character design was based off of Pedo from
Red Dog.
From Red Dog, one of my favorite shows, and as a native Dampian, I quite enjoyed
cool
playing him. The nickname Fish actually came from an old mining boss that I had, a fellow called Fish.
Don't dox anyone.
No, all right. So that's kind of where I got the name, because I was trying to come up with nicknames and I was like, oh, what's a good one? I was like, I remember Fish. So I was like, all right, I'll call him Sardine and go with Fish from there. Yeah. So I liked Fish. I like the idea of, I traditionally play very combat characters, like, a lot of the time. So it was fun to play someone. I think this is one of the first characters I've had that didn't have military training or rimwires or anything like that. And any sort of gun skill at all.
It is a shame you got knocked out so early, because your skills were very much necessary for this adventure.
I took a risk and it paid off in the end, but I put myself in the firing line.
Didn't expect that grenade to go off, did you? Just to be a man, dude.
Fuck that guy.
I'll get to that just as we finish. Let's move on to John.
It's fucking good, actually.
With Natalie.
Yeah.
What the hell was going on there?
Okay, so as soon as I heard about Bug Hunt, I had almost as a flash, like a vision. I said, I want to play like a weedy battle droid. I want to play like a Star Wars style, not humanoid, spindly robot that's kind of slightly irritating. My first inspiration
like
was...
Like Chappie.
Yeah, like Chappie. My first inspiration was like, I was imagining him sounding... it was male at the time, or non-gendered. It was like Abe from Abe's Odyssey, like Oddworld.
Oh,
those little
yes.
slaves that are like, come on, guys, we got to go over here. It's like, give me a little elbow grease. Yeah, so that was where it started. Obviously, there's a bit of finagling you got to do to get it to work in the mothership setting. And then we were having a chat a couple of days ago, and apparently someone brought up that someone mentioned that we don't play enough girl characters. And I was like, you know what? I'll bite the bullet.
It was me.
It was you, yeah.
Because I think I played the first girl character as a PC.
Yeah.
Anyway, Natalie?
From the point where I wanted to make a creepy little droid, I came up with the name Nat, like G-N-A-T, because I wanted it to be also bug-themed if we were fighting bugs. So I was like, another bug hunt. Mine's like a little weak bug as opposed to like the strong bug. And so I went over little bug names, and Nat was the most simple. And then when I decided I was going to play a feminine robot, quote unquote, I was like, well, Nat, short for Natalie, I'll just extend the acronym out. I do like acronyms for my androids, as MKBH was also.
Yep.
And it just sort of went from there. And as I was driving up today, I was like, I need to have a running, because I like giving characters catchphrases which encapsulate their personality, right? So in Bio Drones, I was like, this creepy guy has got to have like this sort of Austin Powers, Tim Roth kind of vibe. And with MKBH, it's the stoic religion, etc. And for some reason, I was just like, because I wanted to avoid doing the sarcastic android outright, because it's a bit cliche now. So we've not all played, but most of us have played the BioWare Star Wars, whatever it's called,
KOTOR.
Star Wars KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, which has got that droid that's sarcastic and like misanthropic. And then the Star Wars franchise has done it a few times now. Like in Rogue One, they had one in like The Mandalorian. He was like a sarcastic chauvinist droid. And then I think technically in Solo, the droid is sarcastic. So I was like, it sounded original at the time, but now everyone does it because it's like tempting. So I tried to be personable. And for some reason, the first thing that I came to, but I still want to have like a personality. It's just like, what if she just keeps trying to make jokes?
Yeah. Yeah. Just these funny little puns.
And so I try to, every game we play, I try to come up with some sort of catchphrase. And for some reason, I just landed on, that was a joke, tee hee.
That was a joke, tee hee.
And then I just thought that could create the character. If I just every time I said something, I just ended with, that was a joke, tee hee.
Yeah. And it just gave a way for Rudy to get increasingly foul mouthed. Against you.
Yeah. And then as we were playing, I was like, we've established that I want to blow up, because we were making the characters, and Andrew was like, you can forego the grenade for a self-destruct option. I said, take it. First mothership game we played on Epsilon, I fell in love. Perhaps I fell in love with the game the moment we opened the terminal, and using my hacking skill, the self-destruct option of the ship.
Yeah.
So I'm always into that. And then I was like, I like my acronyms. We've already established that acronyms are utilized in this robot. So I just started writing T-I-H-I because it's the shortest acronym possible. And I was like, I'll tie this in together. And that's how we ended up. Of course, this would be more meaningful if I actually got to do my explosion premise.
Yeah,
someone else got to explode. Sorry.
I wanted to go into the hive and explode, but Andrew said it'd be hours away.
This is part of the adventure, and is what it's obviously aiming for. The mothership, of course. The tower being co-opted and blasting this signal. The android going crazy, is usually a stick, and trying to convert everyone.
Yes.
These are all themes in this adventure. Let's go to the garage, because the Carcanid is within the body of the marine that is in the hole in the garage. And you can get to the garage bypassing the airlock, going around the base, going to the roller door, opening the roller door, and walking into the end monster at the start of the game.
Yeah.
Which is possible.
That'd be hilarious.
If you couldn't open the airlock or just wanted to scout out the area, you can just go straight to it, which is a interesting premise. But yeah, this guy, there's an outside the garage is a bisected corpse.
Bisecting is a theme here.
Roll-up doors, which are barricaded from the inside. So it takes a while to get open, but you can enter it. And then once you enter the garage, you've got the giant hole standing in a puddle of water is a marine who's digging relentlessly, completely ignoring their surroundings. So you can imagine just walking into this room and just seeing this man digging with his hands.
Yeah.
In this giant hole. And if you go up to him or touch him, crab legs extend from his head and just come out, opening like an umbrella as it comes out of his body. And that's how the Carcanid activates.
Well, I'm sorry I missed it. That would have been fun.
That would have been actually really
better
fun.
To draw it out.
Well, it happened. It just happened off the camera when it heard you move into that room. So there's a few ways of eliminating it. There's barrels of fuel everywhere.
Yeah.
There's electric cable and water. You could have turned the power on in the other room first, and then the power would be on. It's another way of killing it. Hydrofluoric acid are in two locations in the lab, also in the freezer. If you go in the freezer, find a way to defrost it in time or wait an hour or so. It would have been liquid, but you went to the command center straight away. So
yeah.
Hydrofluoric acid destroys the armor straight away.
Yep.
It's only got two wounds at 20 health each.
But its armor is so ridiculous. It's 30?
30 points of armor. So Rudy rolled 29 on his damage, and 1 point more would have destroyed the armor. I kid you not.
Yeah.
That's when I was really lamenting.
But like none of us have attacks that can do 30.
Yeah. That's
only Rudy.
That's like
a grenade.
Roughly an average PC health, like minimum health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got this thing down to 6 health of its first wound.
Hmm.
So you didn't even blow off a wound. But it's obviously dead now. No, it didn't die. It didn't fucking die.
No, it didn't die.
Wow. It went through the armor and then still it's was still alive. Shit. They're very tough.
It's more than 75 to hit. Like
it's a monster.
75 combat is fucking scary.
It's very scary.
Not as tough as the Shoe D was, but still pretty tough.
It's pretty scary, yeah.
So
I guess we killed the Shoe D, but
yeah.
Other players have electrocuted it. You can blow it up. Also, on this marine it crawled out of, the marine has a bandolier with 5 frag grenades on it.
Ooh.
So if you had explored that room a little more, you would have got this body with 5 frag grenades on it.
I was just hoping to make a bandolier out of acid.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That was my dream.
Look, I'm going to give kudos where kudos is due. Hydrofluoric acid, I know about it because of my job.
Hey, this is another episode of Doug Has Done Everything. Doug happens to know an awful lot about hydrofluoric acid.
I know about hydrofluoric literally because of my job. It is not common, like I don't believe it's very common knowledge to know about.
We did this at the intro of episode 2. So anyway,
it's really cool that they.
Do you want to know about the APC?
No, Doug. What's more dangerous? Okay, hydrofluoric acid or spilled milk?
This is getting too meta for the usual audience to know.
Spilled milk is a great antidote.
Here we go. Here we go. Calcium. I need calcium. Okay, inside the APC.
I didn't even think of that,
John. Focus.
So you can cure spilled milk with hydrofluoric acid, is what you're saying.
John. Inside the APC was Damar, the base mechanic, wearing a tinfoil hat. This is all part of the adventure. Gripping a frag grenade, pin already pulled.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just holding it like Terminator scene. I don't know how much longer I can hold it. Yeah. Yeah, we all know the scene. He's thin, malnourished, he's been there a while, obviously, body covered in paper cuts, as per usual. He hugs his legs when talking. He's mostly concerned with his place in the hive. He says, I want to go back. I want to go back to the hive. I can hear them. They are calling me. I want to contribute. They will wake. They are awakening. He ignores any noise outside the APC. He's completely enthralled by the hive mind. If gently pressed, he can show you the way to the mothership, or otherwise continues in a trance for 3 more hours, then becomes fully assimilated. He could have been another Kark if you had taken hours to do something like repairing things around the base. And the controls of the APC are in working order. The nav shows the Heron terraforming station.
Mm-hmm.
And if you operate the comms, a piercing shriek emits. Sanity save to everyone. Damar wakes up from his brainwashed slumber and drops the grenade. If you turn on the comms, basically, or disturb him.
Oh, so yeah.
You walked in there.
I was trying to think, is there any way of would have gotten in there without him fragging me?
I skipped to the fragging because he was already at the point of no return.
Yeah.
And he just said, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. You were obviously there to get the keys. Keys are in your hand, ready to drive off. Don't want to go back. See you later.
Turtles.
Yeah.
I'm curious about one thing.
Yes.
The starship we came on was called the Orpheus.
Yes, I made that up.
Oh, okay.
You know why I made it up? It's a literal. It's obviously a reason. Because who was Orpheus?
He descended. He was a bard. He was a minstrel that played music, and he descended into the underworld.
Yes. So that was my reasoning for renaming it the Orpheus. The original ship was called the Metamorphosis.
Oh, that's too obvious.
That's way too, yeah.
And I'm sorry, like, come on, guys.
A little on the motor,
if you called it like the Kafka, that would be more, yeah. But sure.
Or the Rusty Crab or something like that.
But also, also the game is called Another Bug Hunt. So, you know, sweeps and roundabouts.
Yeah, give your players some credit. They're going to work out a lot of obvious hints here.
But we're seasoned Mosh players, let's not forget.
We are very seasoned.
If we had heard that it was called the Metamorphosis, we go, no!
That's what I exactly thought. So, ooh, do you think we're going to change into something?
Yeah.
Whereas Orpheus was a bit more subtle.
I thought it was just going to be another bug hunt.
Another bug hunt.
Game over, man. Game over. All right. I think we're done. I think this has been, this is good. It's only the three of us. And
there's three.
I think we've got, we had a good opportunity to relax, not put any pressure on ourselves, play a little good old fashioned one shot, throwaway one shot. And it was a lot of fun.
I like that. That's the throwaway one shot is the mothership one shot. We're just so transcended that we've decided that's the throwaway.
Oh, hang on. Yeah. I didn't mean it like that. I mean, for us.
Yes,
for we're obviously a premium mothership podcast by now.
Yeah.
We're fully committed. Obviously, you've been listening to the campaign, which is a fabulous piece of work.
Yes, it's most exciting. It's got a more lovable android.
Yes.
But played by yours truly.
Well, they could be pretty far along by now. This is in recording. It's nebulous at the moment, but this could release quite far into the campaign.
My favorite part was when Merkaba pulled out the vial and became the god of the yellow goo.
Yeah, spoilers. That may or may not happen. Shall I lead us out, gentlemen?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That was episode 3 and the finale of Nobody Wake the Bugbear Plays Another Bug Hunt Scenario 1, Distress Signals. You can pick up the digital PDFs of this adventure and the first edition Mothership Sci-Fi Horror RPG rules over on BackerKit or go to survivesolvesave.com. The other links, the full links, I'll put in the description.
I forgot about that, the survive, solve, save thing. The dichotomy. We were just so good at playing the game, we do it naturally.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The maps and supplementary material have been displayed from the adventure itself, but it also features graphic work by us. This is for the YouTube video when it releases. This series features the fine synthwave music of Carl Casey at White Bat Audio, also Alex Nakarada at Serpent Sound Studios, and of course, John of Nobody Wake the Bugbear Podcast.
Yes, the theme song was made by me.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
I like the scuttering noises. That was really well done. Yes.
The other sound effects and music have been sourced from freesound.org using the Creative Commons license. We have been Nobody Wake the Bugbear. You can find us on our socials at NWTB Podcast and at NWT Bugbear for our Twitter. Video versions of the podcast will be posted on our YouTube channel, which is at NWTB Podcast, when they are ready. As always, this content would not be possible without the generous support from our patrons. Thank you all for supporting the show. If you would also like to support the show, you can find us on patreon.com/NWTB podcast. You can always support us for free by checking out our socials and leaving a review or comment at NWTB podcast and at NWT Bugbear for our Twitter. Thank you all for listening. And we'll see you...
And little did you know...
In space.
And little did you know, the theme song that I composed was actually Mimetic Disease itself. And the process has begun. The metamorphosis. You are now turning into a crab. Everyone's turning into a crab. Carcinization is true. It is the end game. Everything evolves into crabs. And cancer.
Crab people. Crab people.
Cancer?
Now you taste like crab and talk like people.
Done. Episode 3.
Can't find your phone? Is it?
And the music is playing.
Should I call your phone on Messenger?
Leave it in toilet?
I'll just call you on normal phone. Okay. Okay, hold on. Can you hear me, Echo Team? Come in.
Narcissus was admired for his beauty.
But turned away the attention of all those
who
who desired him, thinking himself above them.
Doug, it's not behind the couch again. That took us 15 minutes to find last time. And I incorporated this time into playing the game because there's literally 1 hour left. And your one job is to have a character sheet.
So you... Oh, okay.
Fuck's sake.
I was still calling it, but I'll call again.
I appear to have written on my character sheet here, hostile sundial crocodile.
Okay.